You are listening to A True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Pastor Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Sometimes you hear those songs and you say, I needed that. Amen. We begin to get so caught up in our own personal frustrations until we forget about His goodness and mercy toward us. If you were in Sunday school today, you did well. And I want to piggyback off of the Sunday school lesson this morning, for they talked of Jeremiah's calling. And I want to talk about Jeremiah's frustration. So if you open your Bibles or watch the screens and we go to chapter 20 of the book of Jeremiah. I want to begin reading at verse 7. Jeremiah 20 and 7 says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word within my heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. The message this morning is, I'm tired, I'm fed up, but I can't quit. Amen. Have you been there? Well, if you haven't, keep living. And eventually all of us will get there. You see, almost everyone gets tired at some point, whether it's physical exertion, that's a common factor of life. We can become mentally exhausted when the workload or our patient has met with what seems like unmovable obstacles. In our relationships, if you're married, amen. If you're married. Now, some of the things I'm saying about marriage, maybe you not need to say amen if you're sitting next to the one you love, amen. So I want you to have a good day today. Amen. But in our marriage relationships, it becomes stressful because marriage is work. It's a work of three. It's a work of husband and wife and God. And if you don't believe me, take you two strands or two cords and twist them together. They won't stay together very long. But if you take three strands and you braid them together, that'll be strong. It'll stay. You need God in your marriage. See, if you just got two strands, they just twist it. And if you got a twisted marriage, it ain't gonna stay long. Two men married, that's twisted. Two women married, that's twisted. God ain't in neither one of them. It's just twisted. it won't last long. But even in your marriage of three, where God is doing everything he can, there's still frustration. If you're raising children, there's frustrations. Stressed and depressed, you'll be weary, discouraged. You'll be discontented, you'll be despondent. You can be busted and disgusted because we live in a world that's dog-eat-dog and a rat race of life is never ending. There's so many challenges that come before us that we can become despondent in so many different ways. And as I said before, if you're married, well, you know how that thing goes. She's saying, man up, I'll be glad when you be responsible. And he's saying, shut up, I wish you shut up, I would be responsible. Now when he said that under his breath. He says it in his dreams. He don't say that out loud, amen. And then you want her to shut up, and she wants you to man up, and you want the children to grow up so they can get out your house, amen. Amen. But all that's part of our life. But there's so many things that we can get tired of, and it's not just the job we're tired of, not just the things we're going through. It could be a physical disability. You get tired of being tired. You get sick of being sick. Some people have been sick so long and they're just tired of being sick. They become weary in their sickness. Or perhaps you're taking care of somebody. And you're taking care of them because you love them. But even that role that you're taking care of them, you can become tired and fed up. But don't quit. See, love will make you stay somewhere that you don't want to stay. Because if you really love someone, you will stay. Amen. And I'm bothered so many times how this country has taken marriage and threw it up under the bus. Amen. And made a mockery of what God said was a sacred institution. And marriage is holy. It's a holy institution that God has designed. But this government we live in, this has just messed up marriage for us. But it's even messed up in the church. Amen. A pastor that's divorced can't preach about divorce. A pastor that got a side chick and a man on the side, he can't say nothing to nobody. And the congregation knows it, and they sit there every Sunday. Amen. They know he on the down low. Amen. You can tell when sissy's in the choir, can't you? Every now and then, I come out here and do a sissy check when they're walking up. I make sure ain't nobody got no switching on them. Amen. 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 Am I preaching yet? I wonder if I got the right crowd. Amen. You know, it's a messed up world we live in. Jeremiah, the prophet of God, his name means Jehovah lifts up. He's called by the Lord as official prophet while he was still a youth. As a matter of fact, God said, before you were conceived, I knew you. When you were first born, I knew you. Before mama knew your daddy, I knew you. And Jeremiah has become the poster child for the pro-life and the anti-abortion agenda. Because that tells you life begins at conception. God knew him. God knew him then. And he said, I'm calling you, and I'm going to sanctify thee and ordain you a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah was young. He was about 16, between 16 and 20. And he said, Lord, no, I'm but a child. I don't know how to go in and how to go out. And this is not the first time someone has said this. Moses said, I have a speech impediment. I believe it was Solomon that said he was but a child. But see, God doesn't care about how old you are. God cares about how faithful you are in carrying out his word. A lot of us don't have the experience that some of us think we should have, but if God calls you, he has called you to a good work. Yeah. I've said this many times, and I've said this in the churches. There's only two kind of pastors that people really love, and that's a new one and a dead one. Well, I ain't dead yet, and I sure ain't new. Amen. Yeah, they love a new one and a dead one, but you have to understand this job of pastoring, this job of ministering to people, this is a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. When you're shepherding, you're going to smell like the sheep after a while, amen? But it's a job that must be done. Jeremiah is one of the four major prophets of the Old Testament, and his reign extended even from Jerusalem under Judah, even to Egypt, and he prophesied for nearly 50 years. He's prophesied under Josiah, under Jehoaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachim, and Zedekiah. He's set apart by God in his unique calling before he was born. Amen. And he understands that God has said, don't be afraid of their faces. In other words, Jeremiah, I got this. I got this. Don't be afraid. I've called you this day and set you over nations. I want you to root out and to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. Now, it's only two where build and the plant comes after the root out and the pull down, destroy and throw down, because you know sometimes you got to tear down something before you can build up anything. I watch the Home and Garden Channel a lot, and I found that it takes no skill to tear up something. Amen, amen. They go in there on demo day, and they take a hammer and a sledgehammer, some glasses and some gloves, and they tear up everything. But it takes skill and time. It takes some skills to know how to put things back together and build some things. Now, there's some folk that can tear a church up. Amen. Amen. Only the Lord can put it back together. People are good and destructive ways in doing things. This book of Jeremiah is special, for Jeremiah is a special prophet. And there's phrases in this book like no other prophecy book. And you hear in Jeremiah's book, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. You'll hear phrases like, thus saith the Lord. And then saith the Lord unto me. And the Lord said unto me, appears more times in Jeremiah's book, this weeping prophet, than any other book. But he came to preach at a time where their Judah, the children of Israel, had been separated, but the nation of Judah that was in Israel had become a rebellious, stick-necked people. They had forsaken God. They were going through the daily worships and all of this, but they were just fronting because they did not honor God. And idolatry had creeped in to the people of Judah. God's first commandment was, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And God meant what he said. And yet they had pagan gods. They had all kind of gods. And idolatry was in there. And God was sick of them. God got tired of them. God got fed up. But how many know God never quits? Oh, he'll never quit on you. He won't quit on your marriage. He won't quit on your relationship. God won't quit, but he had a plan. God said, I'm going to take Judah. I'm going to take them out of the Holy Land that I have given them. And I'm going to let some angry, unbred, heathenistic, Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon come and take you to Babylon. He's a heathen. He doesn't know God, and he don't care nothing about you. And he's going to come over here, and he's going to tear down the city walls, tear down the temple, take the gold and the silver, and take away captive some of you. And they even called Jeremiah a traitor because he said, when the armies come, y'all go out and surrender. Give yourself up. That's the only way your lives will be spared, because the Lord told Jeremiah to say this. Yeah. Everything the Lord told Jeremiah to say, he said it. And he said it loudly. He wasn't smooth. He wasn't eloquent. He just spoke what the Lord told him to do. And for this, he's being criticized. He's been called a preacher of sorrows. He's been called the preacher of doom and gloom because he's telling the truth. And a lot of people come to church right now. They don't want to hear no doom and gloom about their sins. They want you to make them happy. They want you to tell them, jump up and get your blessing. Well, you need to get on your knees and thank God for the blessing you already got. Ain't no pie in the sky. I don't understand that. This thing that people are saying and trying to make you feel good when you come to church. And believe me, I don't try to make nobody feel good. Hey, I guess you know that. Y'all should have said amen right then, because you... I came in here with some Tootsie Rolls and some hard times, and I ran out of Tootsie Rolls on my way up to the pulpit. I ain't got nothing but some hard times for you. I'm not coming here to give you no cookies and milk. Amen. I know that's what you want. You want somebody to make you feel good. Talking about your tomorrow going to be better than yesterday. I don't know what your tomorrow going to be like. And I'm tired of your lying preachers telling you all that mess too. Don't you realize that God is still angry? I know he's angry because I'm angry. But all the mess and sin going on in our churches. God's fed up. Jeremiah, I want you to just preach whatever I tell you to do. But don't be afraid of their faces. I got you. I got you. Now, God never told him that he wouldn't have no problems. God never told him that you won't have some turmoil in your life and you won't be rejected by even your familiars, your friends, your road dog, your buddies. He didn't tell him that. But what he said was, in whatever you go through, I can get you out. In other words, you got to go through something. You're going to have some mishaps in your life, but I can deliver you from it all. And brothers and sisters, you need to keep that in mind. God will not give you that type of assurance where you ain't got to go through something. You got to go through something so you have something to praise God for bringing you out. If you ain't never been in nothing, he ain't got to bring you out of nothing. But now he's at a point where he's discouraged. God has made him his life somewhat difficult. He tells Jeremiah, I don't even want you to take a wife. Well, that's another sermon right there, but I don't want you to have that discouragement. I don't want you to have to go through that. So Jeremiah did not have a wife. He didn't have to go through what some of us have to go through. Some of y'all men need to say amen if you ain't scared of your wife, amen. Some of y'all are scared. You better not say nothing. I just seen her elbow him and say, you better not say nothing. You want dinner tonight, don't you? He never had a wife. He had no children. His ministry was everything that God had given to do. Doom and gloom. Difficult things. He told them about their sins and what God would do. He was a prophet of God. He foretold as well as foretold. He foretold the future, but he foretold the word of God because God was sick of their sin. And God is sick of our sins right now in the year 2017. I'm sick of it. We got a pastor in Detroit, a renowned pastor, who just married two men together. Yeah, I did. We got sisters galore in our choirs and everything. Amen. And all kind of mess going on. We're not only in the choir. You got sisters in the pulpit, men on the down low, lesbian preachers. Amen. Got all that mess in the church. Amen. Amen. And I had a brother Chestnut. He said one time, he said, Pastor, you preach about that. You think ain't no homosexuals in this church? I said, I'm sure it is, but I bet they ain't comfortable. And I just probably made you feel very comfortable if you got one of them kind of lifestyles. Amen. God love you, but he hates the lifestyle that you're in. You need to be born again. Amen. So the word came unto Jeremiah. And Jeremiah has preached. And people are angry at him. And it wouldn't be so bad if it was just the people, but his own familiars. The board of prophets is angry at him. The prophetic association he belonged to and had wanted to put him out. Amen. They don't want to be bothered with Jeremiah. They say Jeremiah's crazy. Don't they know that God is blessing us? God has given us peace and safety. And a lot of people tell us about peace and safety. No, God is angry because sin is still in our midst. See, I ain't gonna come up in here with no cotton candy. I come up here with some prunes. And some castor oil. I got something for your sin. Some prunes and some castor oil. See, I found out a long time ago, you can't fix castor oil that tastes nothing better than castor oil. It's still nasty, but it'll work you. I'm trying to get y'all to have a sin bowel movement up in here to get rid of your sin. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all think that's kind of nasty, but that's what I said. Amen. I ain't come up here. Y'all ain't come up here getting no happy meals from me. You want a happy meal? Go to McDonald's and get you a happy meal. Be happy. God ain't never told us to be happy. He said, be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. If you're holy, God will give you some happiness, but he'll give you more than happiness. He'll give you joy. Joy down in your soul. You'll have joy bells ringing in your soul in the midst of your misery. You can still have joy. Jeremiah is going through something because of the time that other preachers and prophets and priests are saying that God loves us and God's going to take care of us and everything's going to be all right. He's preaching doom and gloom. Amen. So now it's come to what we may call the last straw, the straw that broke the camel's back. He has preached about a sermon in chapter 19. He has broken this earthen vessel and said, that's what God's going to do. Just as I broke this clay jar, only God can put it back together. You can't put this back together. I'm getting ready to tear Israel up by Nebuchadnezzar. And when the priesthood and when the ministers and the prophets heard this, Pashur, whose name means stable strength, Pashur has come, and he's the chief priest of the governor of the house of the Lord. He heard, and he came and arrested Jeremiah. He arrested Jeremiah, and he had him beaten. Then he put him in stocks, and those stocks were his hands and his feet where he was bent over, and put him out for public display. And the people came by and they wagged their heads and they laughed at Jeremiah and they mocked him. And Jeremiah said, this is too much here. Now he was only there for a day and a night, but on the next day, Pashur came and let him out. And he said, Jeremiah told him, he said, God has changed your name from stable strength to terror on every side. He said, God's got something for you for what you did to me. I'm still preaching what the Lord has told me, what he's going to do, and the kings are going to come and destroy all of Jerusalem, and what you hold sacred, God is going to destroy unless you repent. But no one repented. No one repented. And so he came out of this conversation with Pashur, and he's in prayer in verse 7, and he says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me. He feels that God had brought him into this ministry with a purpose and he didn't understand. He said, you've deceived me. You lured me into this mess that I'm in. You didn't tell me it was going to be like this, Lord. I didn't know it was going to be so difficult. He said, you've deceived me and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in a derision, a laughing stock daily. The folk are laughing at me. I'm supposed to be a man of God, and they're laughing at me. They mock me. They make fun of me. And I want them to say, sticks and stones may break my bone, but names will never hurt me. But they hurt. Hurt, and I can't take this no more. This is some misery here. But now he is thinking that this is going too far. I'm tired of this. I'm fed up, he said. Ever since I cried and spake, I cried out with violence and spoil. I preached doom and gloom unto the people, and they don't like none of it. They don't like me. But at least he's in good company. Now he's not talking about being suicidal. Because a lot of folk just want to give up on life. But please, if you're on the verge, hold on to life. Help is on the way. I'm tired of hearing about so many people taking their own life. Let me tell you, God is the giver of life. And when it's time to go, God will take it. I go to the nursing home and I hear some of the people say, I'm just waiting on the Lord. They're not trying to take their lives, but they're tired of living. Mother Taylor, when she turned 100 years old, she was happy about it. But when I went to her right before 101 birthday, she said, I'm tired now. I'm ready to go home and be with the Lord, but I'm waiting on God. Because that's who you got to wait on. God is the giver and the taker of life. You cannot take your life and then expect you're going to get into heaven. No, that don't work like that. Hell is waiting on you, and Satan is telling you that. Satan is the big bully that he's using against our children, and cyber bullying and all the other kind of bullying to make our kids want to kill themselves. But at least he wanted to hold on to his life. He just wanted to resign from the ministry. But he's in good company, as I told you, because Moses said, I'm sick of this. Moses, if you read Moses in Numbers 11 and around 12, he said, Lord, I didn't have all these kids. I am not the baby daddy for all of Israel. No, they ain't none of mine. I did not conceive all of this people. I didn't carry them in my bosom like a nursing father. I didn't do none of this stuff. And he said, I'm not able to bear all this people alone. It's too heavy for me. He says in verse 15, if thou wilt thus deal with me, kill me. That's what Moses said, kill me. I pray thee out of thy hand, if I found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. In other words, let me give up the ghost. And he's in good company because Elijah felt the same way. Elijah had heard that a hit was out him. Amen. Had a hit on his life. Amen. Amen. And he said he went and hit up on the juniper tree. And then he said down here in 1 Kings 19:4, he said, I went a day's journey and sat up on the juniper tree. He said, Lord, take away my life. Cancel my tomorrows. For I'm not better than my father's. I can't take this. I want to leave here. But at least he wanted to die. And even Jonah, in his despondency, after he had been swallowed by a whale, after he had been spit out and went to Nineveh and preached, and people repented and got saved, after that he said, oh, now, Lord, and in Jonah 4:3, he said, I beseech thee, take my life from me. Better that I die and not live. I don't understand some of the things that people go through, but too often the servants of God are impatient under their present crosses that they wear. But if you belong to God, you're going to bear a cross. I see a lot of Christians wear a cross, but no, you got to bear a cross. Haven't you heard that song? Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. You must bear a cross. However you live, if you're going to live for God, you're going to have to bear a cross. Amen. But it's the infirmity of the old nature. We complain as if God had done something wrong, but God is doing what is right. Amen. We ourselves have lost sight of our service unto the Lord. We forget how bad this is. It has been said that many pastors across this country are quitting their job, stepping away from their churches. And I remember one had said he in a dream that he had prayed to God before he went to bed, and he had told God that the burden of the church was too much for him. The people that he helped the most stabbed him the most in the back. And he said, Lord, this cross that I'm carrying is too much for me. And so in a dream, the Lord said, bring your cross into my cross room. And so there he brought his cross into the cross room, and the door opened, and he set the cross down. And the Lord said, now pick out a cross that you can bear. And he looked around the room and the cross room. It's all sorts of crosses, all kind of crosses. And he tested the weight of the crosses. And there was Paul's cross that was really heavy to bear. And there was Peter's cross, and it was turned upside down because they said Peter was crucified upside down. And over in the corner was the Lord's cross, and he couldn't even see the top of the cross. It was so large and so big, and he wouldn't even try to pick it up. And then he kept on looking around. Finally, he seen a little cross by the door, and he ran over there and picked up the cross and said, this is the cross I want to bear. And the Lord said, good, because that's the one you brought in here. Brothers and sisters, whatever your cross is, it could be worse. Whatever your marriage is like, it could be worse. No matter how much a rascal your children are, it could be worse. No matter how bad your job is, it could be worse. No matter how bad your supervisor is, it could be worse. What you got to do is thank God you got a job. Hallelujah. Amen. Be glad for what God is doing in our lives. Jeremiah, he don't feel suicidal, but he feel like giving up. This is too much. He said, Lord, I had made a reproach unto me, and I've been a laughing stock daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him. I'm not going to preach no more. You can bring your word to me. I ain't going to give it out no more. But his word within my heart, as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. In other words, his word wasn't just in my head. I know he had touched my tongue and it just went in my mouth, but it got down in my heart and got down in my bones. His word was all in me. I became weary from forbearing and I could not stay. Brothers and sisters, you may get weary, but don't quit. You may be tired, but don't quit. You may be fed up, but don't quit. God has something for us all. Listen what the Bible says, so you don't think I'm making this up. Let me throw some word on this about this flesh and the fact that we get tired, we become fed up, and our next step is to make a move. We want to get out of the marriage. We want to quit something. We want to leave the job, not even knowing if we ever get a job again. We get tired. We don't like to be walked on. Nobody wants. I remember when I first started pastoring, I took an attitude. I said, I ain't going to have them Negroes walking all on me. You know, get your head like that. You know, I ain't going to be no throw rug for these Negroes. It wasn't a year gone by, I became wall-to-wall carpet. Amen. Everybody walked on me. And I couldn't retaliate because I realized that this was what God had for me to do. You have other people walk on you. You'll become a doormat. You'll become carpet. And you'll do everything because it's for the Lord. If you say you love Jesus, if you really mean it, you cannot retaliate even when people abuse you. Now listen to what we're told in Scripture in 1 Peter 3:17. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, I got to hurry up. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And then Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Why is it that we get tired of doing good, of doing well, but never get tired of doing evil? I have never seen two robbers say to each other, man, I'm tired of breaking in these houses. I'm tired of jacking these cars. I'm tired of lying. I'm tired of stealing. I'm tired of going down to the casino. They don't get tired of going down to the casino. They just get tired of losing at the casino. Amen. And then you number playing people. I know I got a couple in here. You number playing people. You don't never get tired of playing a number because you know the day that you quit playing that number, it's going to come out. You know that. You've been boxing that number for 14 years. It ain't came out yet. You done put thousands of dollars into that number and it ain't came out yet. And you won't put a cent into the word of God. Amen. I know I'm preaching now. I got to say amen on that. Amen. People don't get tired of doing evil. The fornicator don't get tired of fornicating. The adulterer don't get tired of doing adultery. He just don't want to get caught. Amen. But we can get weary of being a passive pedestrian, being the goody two-shoe, and having folk walk on us. We can be that way. But don't get weary. Jeremiah, don't get weary in well-doing. I've told you before, I have been weary. These 37 years of pastoral ministry has taken a toll on me. And not only do I think about quitting sometime, I done wrote a song about quitting. Amen. I talked to God about quitting. Amen. But I can't quit. Two reasons why I can't quit. Then I'm going to leave you alone. The first reason is I never know how close I am to my finish line. You see, the finish line is blurred. I know I've got more yesterday than I got tomorrow, but the finish line is blurred. And there might be one somebody that needs to be saved, so I can't quit to that one somebody is saved, and I don't know who it is. I got to keep doing what I'm doing until the Lord says so. I got to keep on preaching and telling the truth about God's word. I know some of y'all don't like when I tell the truth, but I'm sorry to tell you about your dirty load out of sin. You need to repent and stop doing the stuff you're doing and turn yourself over to the Lord. I said two reasons. The other reason is because my Savior never quit. Jesus came unto his own received him not. They criticized him, everything he did. They mocked him. They laughed at him. They took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. Yes, they did. They lied upon Jesus. They did all of that. They took him and beat him with the cat of nine tails. And then they took him and hung him between two thieves upon a cross. But he never quit. Yes, he got tired. I know he got tired. I know that he was tired. The Bible says he got tired. The Bible says he got fed up with the disciples because they didn't want to heed his word. He said, "How long must I suffer with you?" I know he was fed up, but he still couldn't quit. He had came into this world to save me from my sin and to save you from your sin. And he would not quit till he went to Calvary. He came for the purpose of dying for us because we couldn't die for ourselves. He came to shed his own blood that we might be born again by the power of the blood. He came to die for us. He came to fulfill his mission and he would not quit. They hung him between two thieves. They stretched him wide, hung him high, but he still wouldn't quit. He died on the cross, hung his head on the locks of his shoulders. They took him down and put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there Friday and all day Saturday. But the record said early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. He wouldn't quit. He still ain't through. For my Bible says he's coming back. Every now and then you'll see me looking up, waiting on him. When you see me outside, I'm looking for him to come busting through the crowd because he said he's coming back. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. He's coming back. He's coming to rapture the church away. He's coming back. Be you ready? Even if he don't come and rapture the church, he could take you away from here today. Be ready. Always be ready. Give your life to Jesus. You have but one soul. And it needs to be saved. Give your life to him. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. I'm tired. Yeah, I'm fed up.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. And we hope that it was a blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.